Well, you guys, I'm so excited to jump into God's Word together this morning. And today I want to take another week and spend it on talking about the church. And I did this a couple weeks ago. And actually, in the coming weeks, we'll talk about discipleship. We're going to lean into evangelism. And really, I'm looking at the summer as a way for us to really step back and kind of re-examine again what we're doing here as Element Church and what God has called us to do. And so today what I want to do is I want to look a little bit about what the Bible says about the church, but I want to look at it in three lenses or three different components. And you may or may not know, but I am actually training again for another marathon. I ran the Charlevoix Marathon in 2021. That was my first marathon. I ran New York last fall, and then I will run Chicago this fall, Lord willing, right? If I can stay healthy. And the reason I say that is because last week I actually hurt my left knee, and while I was training, it got hurt. It's actually just to close the full loop. It is getting better now, which I'm really thankful for. But one of the things that happens when you get injured or when you deal with a sickness even is you actually begin to examine the systems and the structures that are around that disorder. Now, for me, with my knee, I started looking at the way that the leg bones come together and the different cartilage and tendons that are in there. And I was testing things and I was trying to figure out, hey, where exactly is the pain located? And so really what you do when you're looking at a disorder is, again, whether it's a sickness or an injury, is you look at the systems and the organizational structure, and then you examine that, you learn that, you look at that, and then you try to put things in the right places. And I think that works the way that way with our bodies. You know, doctors make a living examining and understanding the organization and the systems, and then they try to make adaptations to those systems and structures and to the body in order that the body can operate in health and operate efficiently. The Bible actually draws this comparison from our physical bodies to the church. The Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And we know that that analogy is run through Scripture over and over and over again, that the church is the body of Christ. And in a similar way to my running injury or to a sickness that you might experience, when a doctor would take a step back and look at the organizing alignments and structures and try to figure out, man, how do we put this together so that it operates effectively for health? I want to look today at the systems and structures of the church and take a step back and say, how do we align and order and understand this in order that the body could operate according to health and efficiency? And again, in a sickness, we call it a disorder, and we're trying to figure out how to bring health. 1 Corinthians 14:40, just two chapters later from the verse that I just read you, it says this. It says, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And it's actually talking about the church. And so again, we see here, you guys, that it's important for us to understand how the church functions and operates in order that it can move in a healthy way, because we're all part of the church. And I hope by the time we're done today looking at this, that you actually feel more empowered to operate within the church than you did when we started, that you understand the church better than you did when we started, and that we could all move together in unity, and we could move with clearer vision, and that we could move forward in better health and in better structural systems, better strength than we did when we started. So that's my hope for today, is that as we examine the systems, organizations, and structures around the body of the church, that we could move forward in a healthier way. So every church operates, at least modern churches operate, with three necessary entities. And I believe that these go back all the way to the very beginning of the early church. We just read that in our intro. I read the scripture out of Acts 2. I won't read that again right now, but you can read it in Acts 2, 42 through 47 about the early church, and really that there are three necessary entities for every church. And so I want to give those to you here, and then I'm going to actually build them out a little bit together. So the first one is the church is a cause. And just for pastor speak, and these are three C's, just easy to remember, right? But the first one is the church is a cause, okay? The second one is that the church is a community. And the third one is that the church is a corporation. So a cause, a community, and a corporation. Now, the cause is kind of the transcendent mission of the church. It's It's bigger than any culture. It's bigger than any local church, community, corporation, personality. It's bigger than anything else. It's the cause of the church. The community is the local expression of God's people, and that's borne out as we, for example, Element Church, moves together to gather and to grow together and to give together and serve together and to go together on mission. And that is the community. It's us together as a people. And then lastly is the corporation. And this is the corporate function of the church, or somebody might say the organizational function of the church. And this funds the cause, and this actually organizes and supports the community. So that is the three components of the church. It's a cause, it's a community, and it's a corporation. And we're going to look at that a little bit further today. In Greek, the word for church, and Greek is the original language of the New Testament. In Greek, it says ekklesia. It's the word for the church. And ekklesia is a Greek term, which literally means a gathering of those summoned or those called out. It was a political term, by and large, which meant that it was a gathering of the summoned ones. And that kind of begs the question, right? Why are they summoned? What's the cause of the gathering? Well, the church is a cause, so why are they summoned? Who's gathering together? Who are the summoned ones? Who are the called ones? Well, that's the community, right? That's the people involved. And then who's doing the summoning or the organizing? Or the hosting, and where are they hosting, and where are they summoning everyone to, and how are they approaching the cause that they're summoned for, and that's really the corporation or the organization. So once again, three different parts of the church, and I think we have to understand all three and the systems and structures that bring those together if we're going to understand how to operate as a body in a healthy way. All right, I think you're with me. Let's go ahead and jump in. We've got 3 points today. Bet you couldn't figure that out. that's a joke. This is called sarcasm. But if you're a note taker today, I've just got 3 simple points for you, and the first one is cause, that the church, God's church, is a cause. Now, the church is not of human origin, at least not the cause of the church. The church is of a heavenly origin. It's a supernatural institution, and this makes it different than any other type of organization on the planet. I've always had such a huge heart for the church because the church stands unique. It's a one-of-a-kind kind of entity because it's not birthed out of human intuition. It's birthed out of supernatural power. And really, when you look at the Bible and you look at the creation that we all get to live in and you look at what God is doing, the church is really just an expression of what God is doing. Some people have said it like this: the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. And in a very real way, God has a mission and God has an objective, and the church really, its cause is actually just to do what God is doing. And you say, well, what is God doing? Well, I'm not going to re-preach all of it right now, but if you go and you read the scripture, there's a meta-narrative in the scripture. And from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, what we see is we see God creating. He makes earth, he makes humanity. And so we would say creation would be like a headline or a banner over that. And then the next word I would say is fall. That's when human beings of their own free will, which God gave to us, we chose to go our own way and choose our own way and not serve God, but to trust in ourselves and do it our own way. That was called the fall. And the Bible tells us that actually there was a spiritual break in relationship between us and God, and that we actually started trying to do things on our own in our own strength. We started trying to make our own way. And instead of being in relationship with God and trusting him and worshiping him, we actually began to serve our own passions, our own initiatives, and we trusted in our own wisdom, our own ability, and that this actually led us down a path of destruction. That's fall. So we have creation, we have fall, then we have rescue. And this is the story of Jesus coming to actually rescue us and to bring us back into right relationship with God, to help us in our dysfunction, to help us in our fallen state, to actually reconnect with God and to actually go back to him and to worship and to trust him once again, because he's good and because he made a way for us to step back into that relationship. It's God's divine forgiveness and provision for us that allows us to have a relationship with him. I would put the banner of that as rescue. So we have creation, fall, rescue. And then the next one I would call is redemption. And this is when Jesus brings us back into relationship with the Heavenly Father. We rejoin the family of God. And then the last word here, I would say, is formation. And that's when we actually become a different kind of creature or a different kind of being. The Bible says that we actually trust God, we worship God, and that God sends His Spirit to actually live in us. And we actually enter a season, a journey of formation, of this restorative process of us stepping into the type of people that we were created to be from the very beginning. So creation, fall, rescue, redemption, and formation. Now, this is the mission of God. This is the story of God. This is the meta-narrative of Scripture. And what this does is it reminds us that God has a mission, that God has an intention, God has a purpose, and that He's working out His initiatives in the earth. And the church really doesn't have a mission. The mission, God's mission, has a church, that we're an extension of that. We are the rescued ones that are called out. If you want to use the word ecclesia, we are the summoned ones. For what purpose? Well, to walk out this mission: creation, fall, rescue, redemption, and formation. And this is really us together as God's people. And in Revelation 7, 9 through 10, it tells us what this will look like at the end of the age. It says, after this, it's a revelation of the end days. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. Verse 10, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, the Christian story and the Christian belief and what we put our hope in is that there is actually a God who made everything that we see and everything that we live out. And that it isn't just a physical life and it's not just a physical reality, but there is a supernatural reality. There is a realm of the soul. And that we're actually in this life being prepared for eternal life. We really do believe that. And so this idea of creation and fall and rescue, redemption, and formation becomes real. In the church, we sum these up in a few terms. We call it salvation and discipleship. Salvation is when we turn back to God and we trust Him and we're rejuvenated and we're rescued and redeemed. And then we talk about discipleship, which has to do with formation, which is the process and journey of becoming the people that God has created us to be. So salvation and discipleship, formation. I love how Jefferson Bethke talks about this. He says this. He says, what is success? He says, we're created for formation. He said, it isn't primarily about the things that we're achieving, and he's talking about in the natural world. He says, but the people that we're becoming. And we already know that. So why are we still focused so much on achieving in the natural world? Because we can see it. He says, formation is so invisible. Also, we're focused on achieving because it's more immediate. Formation takes so long, like waiting for water to boil. It takes so long, like a lifetime. Also, achievement is measurable. How do you measure formation? Like, how do you measure and benchmark metrics for raising a child? So we leave formation for the more visible, more immediate, more measurable game of achievement. And our life feels more successful. But our souls are reeling from the lack of real success, which is formation. And our souls know that achievement without formation lacks any lasting significance. It is the difference between action and identity. The church, you guys, is first a cause. It's a cause about salvation and about discipleship. It's a cause about Jesus' rescue of us and about formation for who we're becoming. This is really, really important. And we remind ourselves that the church is a cause, and really at the head of that cause is Christ. Now, we are walking out Christ's mission, but really the cause of the church is Christ. And if the church ever loses that cause, then we've lost everything. And the church has become nothing more than a humanitarian organization. And physically, that might be helpful, but spiritually, it's bankrupt. And so we have to remember that even though we might say something like, well, you know, I give and tithe to the food bank, and that's how I do my spiritual work. I'm not trying to degrade the value of physical help. That's really important. Food banks are really important initiatives. I'm not trying to devalue that. What I am trying to do is elevate the value of spiritual help. Not trying to devalue physical help, but I am trying to elevate spiritual help. Because it's nice to give to a food bank, and it's nice to feed people, but it's even more important to offer people, even those people who are physically hungry, something spiritual. Now, the Bible tells us that if we just say to someone, basically go and be loved and we don't clothe them or feed them, then we're not doing what we need to do in God's eyes. However, the Bible also is very clear that we can feed people and tell them, you know, feed them and clothe them. And if we don't give them the gospel, then we have really missed the mission of God. People have said this, they've said, live the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. And I understand the sentiment of that, and I think there's some truth to that. But Tim Keller says that when people say that, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel. Because the gospel is not primarily doing something nice for someone. The gospel is primarily a message about the nature of God and what God did to reach humankind and how we can right the spiritual chasm that sits between us and our Heavenly Father. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, how then can they call on one they've not believed in? Is how can people call on God for restoration spiritually, for that rescue and redemption if they've not believed in him? And how can they believe, back to Romans here, and how can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, telling them with words? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, the Bible says we need to be giving something spiritual to people, that people's greatest need is actually not clothes or food, even though those are incredibly important physical needs, that the human's greatest need is actually a need of the spirit and the soul. That the human's greatest need is actually not a restoration of a physical relationship or a redemption in a physical sense, but actually a restoration of a spiritual relationship. So when we talk about the church, we're not talking about a humanitarian organization that does good deeds, although that's important. I'm not trying to devalue that. I'm trying to elevate the value of the spiritual cause that the church carries, because it's not just a humanitarian organization. It's an organization that carries the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, there is a God and he loves you desperately and here's the path home to know him. It's the greatest need of the human life. So we want to give financially to something supernatural and eternal. We want to preach about and talk about something supernatural and eternal. We want to fight for something supernatural and eternal. We want to serve for something supernatural and eternal. And you know, at Element Church, you know, if someone's like, oh, well, I set up speakers and I tear down speakers because I help with the setup and tear down team. Yeah, you're setting up a physical speaker, but you're actually contributing to creating a spiritual environment that people come into and encounter God. This is not just setting up a physical speaker. This is serving something eternal. If you're holding a baby, you're investing at Element Church, you're investing in something eternal. If you are at a middle school Bible club as an outreach of Element Church, you're part of something eternal. And you know, this is the idea, is that the church is a cause. It's a supernatural mission. It's a supernatural entity. It's not just a humanitarian organization. It is an entity that carries the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. There was a song written years ago called Jesus Be the Center. And the verse says this, it says, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From the beginning to the end, it'll always be you, Jesus. And if you skip ahead, the chorus says, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. I know it's a simple song, the bridge. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. And then the last verse says this. So Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. And every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. You guys, the church is a cause. It's not a human institution. It's actually what makes us different from all other human organizations on the planet. It's that we don't just meet physical needs, although we do some of that. It's that we actually meet the greatest need. It's people's spiritual need. And every 7 days, we gather together as a people and we remind ourselves that there is a God and that he created everything. And that as humans, we fell, we went our own way. And that actually we needed a rescue, that the answer wasn't working harder and trying harder and doing more on our own self-effort. It was actually calling out for the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. And that there was actually a rescue and a redemption that comes from that. And that enters us into a period of formation where we're actually growing and learning to walk with God. And that's what we do every 7 days, is we get together to talk about that, to think about that, to worship around that, to pray around that. And Brother Hagin said something years ago. He said, my mind doesn't stay renewed any longer than my hair stays combed. And so in a very real way, we need to continue to do this together, because the church is a supernatural cause. And every 7 days, we need to be together. In groups, we need to be together. In service, we need to be together. And that leads me to our second point. That yes, the church is a cause. It's a supernatural cause. And the church is also secondarily a community. The second thing that the church is a community. And that's why we gather. We gather on Sundays. We gather in groups all throughout the week. We gather on Wednesday nights and Monday nights and Friday mornings. And we gather in coffee shops and we gather in people's homes. We gather together because the church is about community. So it's a cause. It's a supernatural cause. But it's also a very human community. And it's a community of people that are imperfectly perfect. The thing that I love about the church is that it's full of broken people. And you know, a lot of people have misconceptions about the church because they think the church is full of hypocrites. And I think what they mean by that is that there's these groups of people that get together and claim that they're perfect, but they're not. And I think that's a misunderstanding from people outside the church, because the church is not a group of perfect people getting together. The church is a group of broken people who publicly confess that they're broken and that they need the grace of God in their life to transform them and to redeem them. And that we get together to remind ourselves about that and to walk that out together in community and support of one another. It's less like a spiritual, moral A++ blue blood crowd, and it's more like an AA meeting. And it's us coming together to say, Jesus, we need you. And it's us gathering around with one another in community. And we really do believe this, that life change, true life change, lasting life change really does happen in the context of authentic horizontal relationships. So yes, we need our relationship with God. Yes, change comes from that, of course. And yet we also need relationships with one another. In the book of Genesis, God created Adam and he said this, he looked at Adam. It was perfect. Adam was walking and talking with God in the fellowship, in perfect fellowship in the cool of the day. And the Bible says that God looked on and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created Eve, another human being for a horizontal relationship. And so we understand that's not just about marriage, although that scenario actually is about marriage, but we understand it's about horizontal relationships. It's about humans being with other humans. And we know that we need that to be healthy, to experience authentic life change. And I heard someone say one time, they said, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And I think that's so true. So the question is this, who are your friends? Because 5 years from now, that probably dictates who you are, or at least a high influence on who you are. And so we like to talk about the church as a family where you fit, or a family on a mission. And you know, the church really is a community. Remember, we talked about Jefferson Bethke and him talking about formation. I want to circle back to that quote. He says, success in life, he says, we are created for formation. He says, formation takes so long. It's like waiting for water to boil. It takes so long, like a lifetime. Also, achievements are measurable. How do you measure formation? Like, how do you measure metrics for raising a child? How do you benchmark that? So we leave formation for a more visible, more immediate, more measurable game of achievement, and our life feels more successful, but our souls are reeling from the lack of real success, which is formation, and our souls know that achievement without formation lacks any lasting significance. That's all true. I believe that. So here's the deal. We need a community of people that believe that, that believe that it isn't just about metrics. It isn't just about what the world would say is successful. Yes, those can be metrics of success, and we're not opposed to those metrics of success, but we understand that true success goes deeper than that. True success goes back to who we are as people, who we are in God, who we are in loving one another, who we are in serving the world. And we understand that formation is more about who we're becoming than what we're actually achieving. And we need a community of people to gather together to remind each other about that. Yes, we want to remind each other about that through reading scripture, but we need to remind each other about that by being together. We need a community. We need a family that is on mission. And in a few weeks, I'm going to talk about what it looks like to truly be discipled. What does that mean? How does that work? How do we know if someone is discipled in a church? And we'll talk about that 2 weeks from now. For today, let me just say this, is that each person in community needs three things. They need to be known, they need to be loved, and they need to be challenged. Known, loved, and challenged. And we'll talk about that more in 2 weeks, but what do you need to pursue personally in community? You need to pursue a community where you can be known, where you can be loved, and where you can be challenged. And I want to remind us at Element Church that we are a transient community. We sit in a transient community in East Lansing, which I'm in right now. Campus is right here behind me. I want to remind us that the transience, the international transience of this place requires us as a church to be more intentional about connecting together in community. Because, you know, for some church communities, they own a church building and people gather each week and there's more of a static nature to it. Maybe they all live in the same community. And so they come together and you build relationships simply by the repetition of being together in the same place over a period of time. At Element Church, we like to say we pastor a river. And really it is like a river moving through. And so it requires us to more quickly make relationships and more intentionally hang on to those relationships. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you, if you're part of Element Church, even if you're part of our live stream family, our online family, you're going to have to take steps of faith and intentionality in order to connect relationally, whatever that looks like in your situation. Even if you don't live here in East Lansing and you watch online, I want to challenge you, be a part of this with us. But we need to hear from you. We need you to send us your prayer requests. We need you to financially partner with us. We're actually creating something right now called the FAM Network. And we're actually setting it up as a funding network so that we can actually be more intentional to communicate out to those people that are funding who are outside of the physical bounds of Element Church. That as you fund, we want to be able to communicate back to you in a more intentional way what's happening here at Element Church. If you're interested in that, you can actually go to the FAM page on our website, theelement.church/FAM, F-A-M. It stands for Friends, Alumni, and Ministry Partners. And you can actually go right there and you can sign up to become part of the FAM network. You'll get into the queue where you can hear more intentionally about what's happening here at Element Church. But those are the kind of things we have to do, you guys, if we're going to be in community together. Because, you know, a lot of churches, like, it's like owning a home. It's everyone's living in the home. For us, we're kind of like still camping, you know? We're on like a vacation and we're camping. And so some people might say, well, I just want to be with my family. And we would say, great, being with your family at a campsite looks like setting a tent up and making food and maybe going to get water. And, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done to maintain the campsite. That's what the family's doing. So if you want to be the family, then you get invested and involved in what the family's doing. So I would say here at Element Church, we're a very missional church. We are a very transient church. We're in a fast moving river of a community. So I would say if you want to be part of the family, grab a hammer, get involved. The easiest ways to do that is obviously Sundays like this, but we also have e-groups. That's a great way to be involved. Also, giving is a great way to be involved, and especially through FAM, if you're not here in East Lansing, if you get involved with that, it's a great way for us to communicate and stay in touch. And then also serving. You can serve, and hey, grab a hammer. Help us set up the tents. Help us tear down the tents. Help us make some food. That is what we're doing. We're a family on mission. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The church is a cause. It's a supernatural cause, but the church is also a horizontal community. And thirdly, and this is our last point for today. Thirdly, the church is a corporation. It's a cause, it's a supernatural cause, it's a community, it's a horizontal community, and it's also a corporation. Now, this makes some people uncomfortable, but I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because of some of the abuses that people have done when they've had power, maybe the historical nature of some of the power abuses of the church. And I can understand that, and I can see that concern. But what I want to remind us of is that really nothing that is healthy is without organization and structure. If you think about it, you know, you think about a body, that's where we started. We started with a knee injury. The body is very ordered and structured. Remember, we talked about a disease or a disorder or an injury is when the systems and the structures are actually out of alignment. And so even in the physical body, which the church is, that's the analogy God uses for the church, we need order and structure. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, but everything, talking about the church, by the way, it says everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So the idea that the church has a component to it that is dedicated to managing the resources as good stewards for the purposes of the cause of the church and the community of the church, this shouldn't really freak us out. Actually, we should be really excited about this. And not only should we be okay with the church being a corporation, we should actually, hopefully, be really intentional about the church being a corporation. And, you know, God is a God of order and systems. These things are essential to health. In Genesis 1, he creates the whole world. He creates, in 1:16, it says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And as it goes on, it says that he creates the earth and the water, and he draws the boundary between the two. It says that he makes different types of animals and insects and fish and birds. And then it says that he makes different kinds of plants. And then it says that each one reproduces after its kind. This is very orderly and structured. If you study the earth, and I'm not a scientist, but if you study the earth, I've read enough to know that there are very delicate things in balancing the earth. Gravity, how far we sit from the sun. These are all things that are incredibly ordered. God is a God of order and systems. In Acts 6, we see the early church, and what we see is that the disciples are actually going around preaching and teaching the gospel, and the church has picked up a food distribution program for the widows that are in the area. And what they find is that the Hellenistic Jews, which is a cultural thing, or potentially a racial thing, that those widows are being neglected in the daily food distribution. And so what happens is the apostles come along and they say, hey, we can't stop preaching and teaching the word of God to tend to tables. Remember, the church is a cause first. But they said, but this is really important. So what we need to do is set really faithful people over this program so that it functions and it represents the heart of God accordingly. And in Acts 6, that's exactly what they do. And they actually better set up the organization and system of the food distribution to make sure that God's heart for people is actually fleshed out in the systems and processes of the corporation of the church. In the Old Testament, before there was a church the way we think of it now, but Moses leading God's people as a nation, we see that Moses was, the Bible tells us, standing from day until night, actually helping people discern between their problems. So there was a long line that would come and they would tell Moses what was going on and he would try to help them work through the problems. And Moses's father-in-law, Jethro, comes along and watches the process and pulls Moses aside and says, Moses, Moses, what are you doing? You got these people standing in line from day to night, and it's wearing you out, and it's wearing them out. It's not good for you, and it's not good for them. What you need to do is you need, and I'm paraphrasing him, he says, but this is what he says. You can go read it. He says, you need to create some order and some structure. You need to actually set these people in groups of 10 or hundreds or 50s. To be honest, I don't remember the exact number in this particular story. And he says, then you need to put faithful people over those groupings so that all of these issues can get worked through so you don't kill yourself and you don't punish the people. So we see that there's a need from the New Testament to the Old Testament to the early church. We see that there is a need for order and structure, that God is a God of order and structure, even in creation. And I'm reminded of one last example. And again, these are all through the scripture, but Jesus is actually about to do a miracle and feed the 5,000. And before he does the miracle to multiply the bread and the fish, he actually tells the disciples to go have people sit down in groups. And then he distributes out through the 12. So organization, let me say it like this, organization is not unspiritual. And I think so many people feel like organization is unspiritual, that somehow when you start organizing something, that God's not in it anymore. God is a God of order and structure. All through the entire scripture and all through Jesus' own ministry, organization is not unspiritual. Organization is actually needed for spiritual health because order and structure is always needed for health. Here at Element Church, we actually have three groups of leadership that I want to let you guys know about, the way that we're ordered and structured. We actually have a board of trustees, we have a board of overseers, and then we have our pastoral staff. That's really our leadership structure. Our trustees are actually our legal board. They deal with the financial checks and legal checks and balances. of our organization. So financial and legal checks and balances. There are legal organized structure, and that is our board here locally, our board of trustees. Additionally, we have a group of overseers that are other lead pastors of other churches, and they offer spiritual checks and balances or spiritual oversight to myself, to Pastor Erica, to our board of trustees when needed, and also to our pastoral staff, which is the third group of leadership at our church, which is our pastors and our staff. So we have our board of trustees, our legal and financial checks and balance. We have our board of overseers, which is a spiritual oversight checks and balance. And then we have our staff, and they manage the day-to-day operations of the church. So that's how we're ordered and structured as Element Church. And again, 1 Corinthians 14:40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So I want to remind you guys, today, as we've been talking about this, that the church is three things. It is a cause. It's a supernatural cause. It is a community of people. It's a family on mission. And it is a corporation. Organization is not unspiritual. It's actually required for spiritual health. Now, before we close, I want to give you one note. There is a prioritization to these three things, and we've gone through them in order, but I just want to emphasize them for us because there's really unhealthy things that start to happen if you misprioritize these three parts of the church. Now, let me first state that the order, if it's not obvious already, is that cause is first, community is second, and corporation is third. The corporation serves the community and the cause. The corporation and the community ultimately serve the cause. And we have to have all three present for a healthy church, but we have to have all three in proper order and alignment and organization for a healthy church. Now, if a corporation ever becomes first and becomes the priority, which we see this happen with churches, then the church becomes focused on maintaining financial sustainability and survival. And we see this when a church loses its cause, when it loses its mission and its vision, we see that it becomes an organization that's just looking out for its own survival. And we see churches, there's a church coach that I follow. He said, older churches that are struggling, they lose vision long before they lose their finances. And what we see is that if a corporation ever gets elevated to the first priority, we see that the church becomes focused on maintaining financial stability, sustainability, and survival. And obviously, that's not what God wants. If the community ever becomes first, if the community ever finds its way to the first priority and becomes first, what we find in the church is we find silos and social cliques and infighting. We see a club or a social group or a humanitarian organization that is actually operating around relationships and social dynamics, but it's doing so without the supernatural cause of Jesus Christ. And we see that so often in the church. If the community ever becomes first and is elevated to the first priority, then we see that it just becomes a human associate or a human corporation that is sometimes doing good work, sometimes not, but a human institution. But if a cause ever becomes first, if a cause ever leads the way from the community and the corporation, although all three are present, and the cause becomes first with the community and the corporation serving that cause, then we see Jesus Christ begins to lead us into growing together and gathering together and giving together and serving together and impacting our community together. And in an organized way, we actually begin to see salvation and discipleship. We start to enjoy the benefits of long-range formation, and we actually begin to see glory coming to Jesus' name. We begin to see that his kingdom comes to earth, and we begin to experience broken people healed and the lost saved. And we see families and organizations and cities and nations restored to the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what I hope for us. And that's the reason that today I'm talking about the church, because unless we can view the church in its proper systems and organizations, guys, we're never going to be a healthy body. But if we can step back like a doctor, if we can step back and we can examine the way the church moves, the body of Christ moves, then we can understand how it comes together, how the vital parts work together, how the three parts are organized and prioritized. And that allows us to participate in the body of Christ so that it is more healthy and more unified. And that is when the church becomes truly a cause and a community and a corporation that works together for the glory of God. I pray today that as we've gone through this, I pray that you will continue to see the church for what it is and continue to commit yourself to involvement and participation in those three parts of the church. Let me pray for us together that we will continue to move forward as a healthy church. Father, I pray today, God, for a spiritual impartation in us as a church. God, I pray for Element Church that we would move forward and God, that we would always keep your cause first. God, I pray that as we keep your cause first, Jesus, and as we are carriers of the gospel and we understand that, God, our church doesn't have a mission. Your mission has a church. And God, that's what we're doing. We're about your work. We're about you. We're about, God, we're about your mission and your objectives. And God, we are not an institution of human invention, but we are a supernatural group, God, that is carrying the gospel forward in the earth for the purposes of salvation and discipleship. God, we thank you for that today. God, keep that at the forefront of our mind. And God, I pray even today for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would impress that on our hearts today, that you would give us a burn and a passion, God, for your church, the cause of your church. And God, that it would change us, that it would reorder us, that it would reprioritize us so that we could serve and give and love and God, make our lives about something that isn't just temporal, but something that is eternal and supernatural. God, I pray for our community. God, that Element Church would be an expression, God, of your local community, God, of your body. God, that Revelation 7 would be born out, God, in Element Church through your community here. God, that we're not a perfect people, but we are a loved people by you. God, we're perfectly imperfect. And God, as we come together and as we make confession that we desperately need you, God, I pray that we would be a community that would be knit together with our hearts. God, we'd be a family on mission. And God, that we would be serving each other and serving you well in humility. And God, that we would remember, God, that we need you desperately, God, for this community to work. And so, but God, I pray for a stickiness and a connectivity, God, in relationships at Element Church. God, I pray that you would knit hearts together. God, that you would draw the right people to Element Church that need to be here. And God, that you would allow those people to take steps of intentionality, God, because we do exist, God, in a transient place. God, we do exist in a place that moves like a river. And God, that's so cool and it's so exciting and it's why you've called us here. But God, I pray that Element people would be people that would take steps of intentionality to connect because otherwise, God, we're not going to be the community that you've called us to. God, I pray also and lastly, God, for the corporation of Element Church. God, I pray you would continue to put people in place, God, that would give wisdom to Element Church. And God, that we would be good stewards of resources for the purpose of the community and the cause. And God, that you would allow us to have good systems and structures. God, that you would allow us to have wisdom beyond our years. And God, that you would continue to bring wisdom from even outside of our organization to help us do things well. And God, we want to be faithful, God, with the things that you've entrusted to us. And I pray, God, that as the corporation, as the organization of Element Church, as it attempts, God, to do things in decency and in order, to do them rightly, to order them rightly, God, that you'll bless it, that you'll bless the work of our hands, God, as trustees and as overseers and as a pastoral staff team, and God, that you will allow the work to go forward faster and make an impact so that your kingdom can come to earth. God, we thank you for that today. God, we thank you for the church today, and God, I pray lastly that you would never allow us to misprioritize, God, the parts of the church, but that we would keep you, Jesus, at the center of it all. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we go into a time of worship, I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, what's the one thing you need to hear from this message today, and what's the one thing you need to do this week because of it? Let's go into a time of worship together.